back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are continuing our conversation here this hour on Friday. And today we're actually talking with young people for the rest of the hour. And we are going to start by talking with students from Mexico and students from Baltimore City here from the intersection. Let me say right now that to put everything out on the table, that I am on the board of the intersection, which is not why we're doing this, because I've always supported the work of the intersection before I got on the board. And we're also working, our staff here on the Mark Steiner Show is working with the intersection, training students in radio to produce stories that will be airing here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA during the course of the year. So to put it all on the table, full disclosure, is important. Transparency is our name in our game. At any rate, here we are. So there's a group of students from Mexico visiting with the students here at the intersection. We are joined here in studio by Jennifer Aguirre, who is a teacher in West Baltimore working with the intersection. Good to meet you, Jennifer. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Ifeteo Kitwala is with us.
Yes,
get your name right?
Ifeteo.
I'm sorry. Ifeteo Wallace, student leader from the intersection. What school do you go to?
I'll be a rising freshman at Baltimore School for the Arts.
Good school. I taught there for 9 years.
Thank you.
Good school. And Donche Golder?
Yes.
Student leader from the intersection. You go to what school?
I go to Bluford Drew Jemison STEM Academy West.
Oh, yeah. Good school. Congratulations. Good to have you here. And Rodolfo David Bellon Perez is with us from Juarez, Mexico, Ciudad Juarez. And Gabriela Lisbeth Asguera Alcazar is with us as well.
Yes.
Welcome to Baltimore. Welcome to the studio. So it's good to have you all here. Before we get into our stories that you all will share about what you did and why you're here from Juarez, you were in the middle of something. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, yes. I just wanted to sort of introduce what Youth in Action is. I think it's such a wonderful program here. So Youth in Action is something that they do that is supported by the U.S. State Department and the Mexican Department of Education. And we have 18 high school students here in Baltimore City that are working on the project that is on youth empowerment. It's administered by World Learning and the World Trade Center here in Baltimore. We had sort of a discussion on they wanted to listen to our ideas of what we're doing in Baltimore City regarding our campaign on gun violence and sort of picking up ideas on what they can do back home. So we were one of the organizations that they met with, but they're meeting with a couple other organizations, and the goal of that is for them to go back home and implement some of the ideas there.
And in many ways, we'll just say that Jennifer Aguirre is a teacher here in Baltimore City, and you are a bridge in your own right, being of Mexican heritage.
Yes.
And parentage. And
yes,
you're teaching in a West Baltimore school for all African-American
young men. I
actually
teach at Donche School.
At Donche School.
Yeah.
So that's the bridge is...
The bridge
you're
is
the living
clear.
Bridge
and
as we sit here.
And also, we just came back from Spain in June. I took five of my students. We fundraised for a whole year and a half.
Are you one of those students, Donche?
Yes, I was.
Oh, I got to hear about this in a minute.
Yeah. Just to see that different cultures that my students see, it definitely does impact a lot of this city students because they don't get to see that a lot, especially in West Baltimore. And 98% of my students are African-American. So bringing that culture into my classroom is really important to me.
So let's talk about what's going on in Juarez. We get the listeners know why you're here and what you do there. The group you have is called Las Dos Caras de la Moneda, right?
Yes.
Which are two sides of the coin. So what is that? What's going on?
We come from Ciudad Juarez, which is bordered with El Paso, Texas. Ciudad Juarez is on the north side of the country, and Ciudad Juarez was known 3 years ago for being the most violent city in the whole world, where they killed more people than Iraq in war times. We had 10 executions per day, 300 per month, and we had the record, well, you can call it that way, 3,000 persons were murdered in a whole year. Mm. When we were trying to figure out of what topic we were going to make this project, we thought that we had to make it like very productive and to address one of the community's problems that we faced. For example, the violence, but the violence was unleashed by the war against the drug cartels and the drug lords and the drug addictions. So we tried to focus on preventing the drug addictions. But we called it the two sides of the coin because we already saw one side of the coin, which is the war against the drugs, which didn't help in anything. So we're trying to show you like the other side of the coin, which is a much simpler solution. Because we come from a family, Yariela, me and my team, which is Sergio and Luis. We come from very strong families where confidence is like the most important thing and we're fundamented in very good values. And even though we faced a lot of bad situations and experiences that we did not like, our family was always there and they always like guide us in the right path. So we're trying to empower the youth by empowering the family because we believe that the family is the key and is the base for everything. Because if you have a good family, your family will guide you and will take you to a good path instead of if you don't have family that supports you, that doesn't know who you are, with who are your friends or how are you moving, it's more likely for you to go into a growth path, such as the drugs. So that's basically the program.
Well, Yariela, I'm just curious just what Rodolfo was talking about the numbers of murders and violence that takes place in Juarez and in Mexico. What is it like for you, for young people, to live in that atmosphere? What is daily existence like?
It was really bad because our parents were, like, always worried when we go out. They're always calling us. It was kind of annoying having each hour or each 30 minutes a call from your parent asking where you are with who you are. It's really, really annoying. It was really bad because we could not go out that often with our friends because some places were really dangerous. So it was not that cool being there.
Have either one of you known people who were murdered and killed?
In fact, in my case, I experienced a lot of bad things. For example, one time I was playing basketball in my school. We had an official game. And the game ended and we were heading back to our cars. And all of a sudden a shooting started outside of the school. But the problem with that shooting was that it got into the school. And I mean with students and players. So that was a very awful situation to be. And I, for example, in my case, I experienced, if you can call it that way, the murder of one of my neighbors. And I also had to deal with soldiers and police officers trying to get into my house with the excuse that we have kidnapped people and those things that are truly not correct. You can say, well, you had the soldiers, you had the police officers. But having the soldiers and the police officers was kind of a bad thing because they were only like seeking an excuse to get into your home and getting whatever they want. So we had to deal with a lot of those situations, and that's why we are here, because we're trying to prevent what we already lived, and we're trying to present the situation from the youth.
Yariela, what about your experience?
We used to have a doctor that was a really, really friend of my family, but he got kidnapped in his work, like in the hospital he used to work. He got kidnapped. My father was trying to negotiate with the kidnappers, but 3 days later, they killed him. They shot him 3 times in the head. So it was kind of a really bad thing. We all feel sorry for that. And with the family, we were like, everything's going to be okay. You have us. You can count with us.
So I'm curious. You know, this is for the two of you from Baltimore, mm-hmm. Fateo and Donche. What it was like to hear these stories. And I know you're working on issues of violence mm-hmm. in the intersection. Is this the project you're doing over the summer and coming in the coming years? So what's your reaction to all this?
For me, just like Ms. Jen said, it's surprising to me how they're two separate countries. They're two separate background situations. We're two separate people, but we go through the same stuff. And there is still an issue that needs to be addressed. These stories are shocking to me because this is something you, like, see in a horror film. Like, I've experienced some things, but not anything as, you know, tragic as this. And I definitely feel for them. But people need to understand that though we are two different people, these things still happen all over the world and all over the nation, and it still needs to be fixed, regardless of who is affected by it.
Don't you?
I feel as though I can really relate, because just last month, my cousin was shot, and
in Baltimore.
Yes, and I don't really think the public understands what that means. They see a person get shot, and it's just like another number for them, and it's not really another number, because no matter how you look at it, that person that got shot was my cousin. And another person that got shot was somebody's father. So in relation to what they were saying is you can't really just go off it like we're people from a different background, we're people from two different worlds, and what goes on over there doesn't matter because the same thing that goes on over there is the exact same thing that goes on over here. We just don't make as big an issue about it.
Yeah, the difference, I mean, the amount of murders and violence that take place in Juarez being such a... How many people live in Juarez?
There are 1,321,004 people in Juarez.
So it's larger than Baltimore, but mm-hmm. but the violence in Baltimore is concentrated in certain people's neighborhoods, in certain
right.
poor working class neighborhoods is where it's concentrated. It spills out, but it's concentrated there. So the effect of violence, have you all talked together about what the effect of violence has been on young people? On
yes.
what it does to your own consciousness, your own sense of being?
I have talked about it because me personally, I feel as though whether you are, you know, related to the person who got shot or you just live in that neighborhood, I think it affects everyone, whether they're conscious of it or not. It could either affect you, like, you know, physically, mentally, or emotionally. So I think that it's definitely an issue that needs to be fixed. So
I mean, how do you all look at that in terms of how it's affected? Before I come back to Donchi, how it affects your way of growing up, your friends, your thinking about life and what goes on around you?
Well, it affected me in a lot of ways, but I think that the way that most affected me was like being a teenager. I mean, you want to go out, hang out with your friends and do some stuff. But with the insecurity that we live, we found it kind of difficult to do that, to do those things. For example, our parents were not confident enough to let us, like, go out and spend some time outside. So I think that it has been very difficult for us growing up. But like I said, the family is always wants the best for us.
Just like him, we could not get out with our friends, hang out anywhere because it was dangerous to be outside.
So I mean, and don't you? I mean, just curious, you have a cousin shot, and we hear stories about gun violence in the school and watching people gunned down in the street and inside their schools, and then the experiences in Baltimore. I mean, what's the relationship to you in all that, with all this?
I want to kind of say it's scary, but in a way, it's kind of demeaning at the same time, because while you're thinking you can't go out or it's a possibility that I could get shot, you're also losing the experiences that come with growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, while we have the chances to do things like these, other children are doing things that aren't exactly as productive and could possibly be put at risk, while at the same time aren't given the connections and examples mm-hmm. that we've been given.
I think one of the things that, so as a teacher, I deal with a lot of my students, and what I've noticed is sort of a pattern. So the students who have been through a lot, I've noticed that sense of, you know, hopelessness that I see in a lot of my students. And through this gun violence campaign, I've just seen people talk about that word hopelessness in a lot of the communities that have been affected by violence. So one of the things that we've been trying to work on is figuring out, where does this hopelessness come from, mm-hmm. you know, and how can we mm-hmm. fix that? How can we give hope that saying, regardless of what happens or where you grew up in, you know, as a community and as, you know, the power of people, we can manage to do something about it and bring that hope back then. A lot of people have said that we do not have anymore. So
let's talk about the projects you're working on in Juarez and the projects you're working on here in Baltimore on violence. What do you do? What are the solutions you can share with each other? The ideas that cross-fertilize between these borders and communities about what you can do to address it as young people.
We came here to Baltimore exactly for that, to learn about what other organizations have done to address this type of problems. So we were divided into six groups. The 99 students that came to the USA were divided in six groups.
Mm-hmm.
We came here to Baltimore because our project is about youth empowerment. So here in Baltimore, the World Trade Center Institute arranged a lot of meetings for us with another organization, such as the Intersection. We visited the Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the Intersection, the Humor Boxing Club, the Core Martial Arts Training, and the Clay Works of Baltimore, and we are kind of learning from what they do so that we can implement that in our project. For example, from the Big Sisters and Big Brothers Association and from the Intersection, we learned about mentorship, that we can use mentorship in our projects. If they don't have a very good family, maybe a mentor can help young people. Also from the Intersection, we learned about social power, because even though we're young, I think we can, like, get a lot of attention if we're trying to do a good for the community. From the Humor Club, in the Core, we also learned about the importance of sports, because I am a true believer that a world with sports is a world free of drugs. So while you're doing sport, you're taking, like, time that you can be spending on wrong things, such as a drug addiction. And from the Clay Works, we're talking about for strengthening the relationship between the families. I learned that, for example, in the Clay Works, they ask parents and teenagers to make a clay work, but on their own, without any help, only helping them each other. So I think that can strengthen the relationship between families.
How about you, Yariela?
Well, how he said, We're just starting our projects to implement them on our communities. We're planning to make, like, sports workshops, dancing workshops, workshops with their parents to get them involved, too, so they can have good communication. If they don't have them in home, they can start building it. Team building activities between teenagers, stuff like that to get everyone to know everyone.
So, I know you've been working on this violence project a lot. This has been a real focus of the intersection this summer, right?
Yes. So we are currently working on a Breaking the Silence on Gun Violence listening campaign, and we chose a listening campaign in particular because we feel as though we need the community's perspective on the problem because they're the ones who have to live it every day. So our goal is to talk to over 400, you know, students, teachers, community members in general by August 12th. So the date is steadily arriving, and we are working on that. And the goal is to kind of find the solution to gun violence, or at least kind of reduce it, because the numbers, you know, for me are way too high in Baltimore City. Like, there's been, I counted 91 shootings this morning, and this is from January to June.
Right.
So we really want to, I'm really passionate about this issue in particular.
Do you want to say?
Well, in the listening campaign, we've been doing relational meetings and house meetings. Relational meetings being...
How do they work?
Relational meetings being one-on-ones.
Uh-huh.
Those are like conversations. I would sit down with you, just me and you by ourselves, and we would go over, well, first of all, I'd personally try to get to know you. Like, Mark, what is your favorite color? Stuff like that, but at the same time, I kind of get around to asking you, how do you feel about gun violence? And if you could give me one solution to gun violence, you had any means to complete it, what would your solution be? And we kind of discussed that a little in depth to give a step-by-step, play-by-play way to go at it. For house meetings are just like relational meetings, so it's just a relational meeting with me and, say, about five of you, five Mark Steiners, five members of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much go through with them the same thing I would go with you, just on a more timely basis. But pretty much we want to get the solutions from people, but we don't just want solutions. We don't want answers from people. We want to get to know the community. We want to get to know John, Mary, and Sue as people, because they're not, like I said earlier, they're not just numbers. A few of the solutions we've come across are, as stated earlier, mentorship, more counseling, more recreation centers, and that's just to name a few.
I'm really curious what solutions to come up with. And I mean, do you think there's a solution to this, or is this something that you can blunt? By that I mean to kind of plug and stop, and have an effect upon us. What I'm trying to say, can you really think you can stop the violence, or do you think there's what is it that young people can do? What can you literally do to address it, do you think?
I think that you can't just stop it and there'll be no more gun violence, because you can't go to every single person in the city and take away their guns. That's kind of unrealistic. Mm-hmm. But what we can do as youth, as stand up and fight for our childhood, because the children are who are seeing it in their neighborhood. And I think there's multiple solutions that can be put together that can focus on different, you know, groups of people, or target different groups of people that will all work for different groups of people.
Because and so what you just said, fighting for your childhood, I think is a really important concept. Because in a sense, what you two were describing in Juarez, that's what you're doing. You're fighting for your childhood.
Exactly.
For your right to childhood.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, because we also think that youth, childhood, and kids are like the future of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that the ones that are right now like ruling, if you can say that way, the world, are going to, one time they have to step down, and other generations will come. So I think that it's in our hands to finally do something for them and to make a better world for them, so that they can grow in a better way, so that they can.
Some of the things I was thinking about, whether it's in Juarez, Mexico, where you both are from, or here in Baltimore City, United States of America, where you two are from, that part of the root of the violence that we face is the illegal drug culture. That is what's happening in Juarez, it's what's happening in the streets of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the violence is not just because I don't like the way you look, that does happen.
Right.
But I mean, what you said to me, that does happen as well, but a lot of it is fueled and the amount of guns that's fueled by illegal drug trade. So what are the conversations? Have you had conversations with one another about that? I mean, how do you think that affects what you can do, and how does that affect your communities, and how does that affect how you might approach the subject?
Well, I think that to address those type of problems with illegal drugs, I think that the only solution that we can afford is to educate or guide the young people, the children, so that they don't get into that world of drugs, because drugs will be there, we want it or not. It's something we can't, like, stop. But what we can do is to guide them to the good way.
We also can make, like, these talks, teenager to teenager, because they gave us this whole talk about drugs in school.
Right.
But it's kind of boring because an adult just stands in the front and is, like, talking and talking and talking. And they just go through one ear and goes out the other. So they don't pay attention to it. So maybe teenager to teenager, they'll be more confident and more interested in what their experience is and what they have to say to them, because they are the same age.
Right, because those things do get boring.
Yes.
And those kind of preach about drugs and preach about what you should not do and preach about sex, and everybody's eyes roll over and they go to sleep. And
right.
Can I get out of here, please? What were you going to say, Fateo?
Well, I think that, I like targeting teenagers, but there's also older ages doing it as well, who kind of need to be the mentors and be the kids that look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they aren't. That's kind of the teenagers follow in the adults' footsteps. So maybe we could target the teenagers because they're going to still be around and be our future. But I think that targeting the adults as well, who are still living right now and still doing the drug trade on the corner, we could do something to kind of help that as well. Because I think personally, whether it be the gun violence or the drug abuse or, you know, homelessness, whatever it is, it damages not only Baltimore City, but their community as well. So I just think we could target adults as well.
What are your insights, Dante?
Well, if I had to target anybody, I wouldn't target a specific – well, I would target a specific group. It would be the community in total, because as I was canvassing, I believe, yesterday and last week, I kind of got the feeling that the community realizes what the problem is with drugs and gun violence. And I think I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, we just can't tell one group of people to do this. As a community, we have to push the drugs out. You can't expect drugs to be gone if you keep buying the drugs or you want police to come in. Because one of the guys I was talking to, he was an ex-drug dealer, and he was like, if a drug dealer sees more police, he's just going to move up the street. So you need to get the community involved as well, because as a community, you push them out. You can't rely on other people all the time. So I would rally the community.
So what do you think that you all have learned from one another? What have you learned from your brothers and sisters in Mexico, and what have you learned from your brothers and sisters here in the States? What do you take away from all this?
That there are still some teenagers all around the world believe they can make a change in their communities. They believe they can make this place a better place to live for children.
I like that.
Thank you.
I believe that every youth or every teenager has a voice, but just hasn't gotten a chance to use it yet. And I know, you know, all of my friends are very strong-willed and very opinionated people. So I know that everyone has a voice. You know, me personally, I grew up without a voice. And the fact that their project, and as well as mine, are giving us that voice and giving us the opportunity to change something in our communities, that's what we need to give, you know, everyone who deserves it. Because I feel like if you want to preach all this to the youth, but are you really listening to what they have to say? Because I know that they have some opinions on this topic as well.
I feel really motivated that it makes me realize that there is, like, still hope. Even though the place can be dark, there's still a little bit light. And we are that light, and it's in our hands to change to change whatever is wrong. Because, for example, living in my city, is very common the fact that people always point to the government and, like, say, no, it's the fault of the government, they don't support us. But, I mean, like Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do. Ask what you can do for your country. So I think that this is a very good opportunity for us to finally do something for our community, for Baltimore and for Ciudad Juarez.
Closing thought, Donche?
I feel as though that saying this right now, I feel like there are people everywhere across the world with the same struggles as us, and a collaboration between people is well needed, and it has taken a while to do, but it has shown us that with the help of others and the sharing of ideas that we can really collaborate and get our thoughts together to have better ideas.
So before we leave, I think that there's an event coming up in August, right?
Yes, there is. We'll be closing our Breaking the Silence on Gun Violence listening campaign, and there will be a press conference at Liberty Elementary School over on Main Avenue.
That's where I went to elementary school.
I went to elementary school there, too. it'll be at 6:30 on August 15th, and we'll be sharing the results of our listening campaign, and youth leaders will be saying poetry and presenting different stuff that they have, so it should be a slam.
It's going to be good, and you'll be back in Mexico by then.
Yes, we're going to be applying our project grant.
That's wonderful. So you'll start work as soon as you get back home.
Yes.
Yes.
We have like a one-year term to apply our project and to see how it goes. And after that, we're on our own applying our project in our community.
Well, this has been an honor to have you on the studio. First of all, an honor to meet both of you, Yariela Elizabeth Azguera Alcazar, having you in the studio here, Rodolfo David Belon Perez, to have you in the studio representing Los Dos Carros de la Moneda. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
And representing the intersection, lovely to have you here. Representing the intersection here in Baltimore, Donche Golder and Fateo Katwala. Good to have you both in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
And good to meet you, Jennifer Aguirre.
Thank you.
And good luck to all of you. I think you are the future, and you are what is going to keep the light shining. And I'm glad you all had a chance to interact and meet together. And good luck.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com.